Thank you. So my name is Hemant Gohil. I'm a county extension agent with Rutgers Cooperative Extension in New Jersey. Today I'm going to summarize the results of a three-year trial on cordon renewal strategies for cold injured Merlot grapevines. The work was done at Washington State University with Marcus Keller before I moved to New Jersey. The work was started in 2013 and it was continued for next 2 years with the help of the technicians. So, well, I think many of you know that the cold injury is the scourge of cool climate viticulture. It's when it hits you hard. You know, there are so many surveys. The one we did in New Jersey was that following the winter of 2014 and 15, 85 and 70% vineyards reported cold injuries. And not only viniferas, but also hybrid varieties had a substantial cold damage. In Pennsylvania, Michaela Centinari reported that about 83% and 75% grape growers in different regions of Pennsylvania reported cold injury at least once in 5 years. So let's go back to Washington State. So Washington is a cool climate region. The most of the vineyards there are on on-rooted, not grafted. But even then, you see cold damage. So there was this grower who called us, and he had a problem. They had a contract with Chateau Saint Michel vineyards. They sourced their grapes for wine and all that. Saint Michel said, if your yield goes down below 3 tons per acre, we are not going to buy your fruit and all that. So we visited that vineyard, Marcus and I, and you look at the vineyard. There were no symptoms of crown gall or nutritional deficiency. But then in winter, we took this picture. You can see, let me give you a close up. So you see short cans not even reaching to the top of the top catch wire. And you see sectoral damage to the cordon where you have sections with no cans, and then several cans coming out from two to three spots. So that clearly indicated that there is a winter injury, accumulated winter injury over the years. So the purpose of this study was to evaluate 4 different pruning techniques for cordon renewal in Merlot vineyard. Well, the reason is we know from at least 3 publications. Adaptive pruning following the winter injury is one of the most critical early strategies for quick recovery of this cold injured vineyards. So so we know that vine recovery from the cold injury depends on the reactivating of the cambium layer, vascular cambium. It promotes the cell divisions and then it repairs the phloem tissues. Now, what happens is that you try to keep as many buds, viable buds, that will push, swell, and then release more auxin, and that helps in reactivating the cambium layer. So our treatments were treatment 1. 3 short canes with 5 to 10 birds each. I would refer this treatment as a kicker cane for simplicity. So the idea was to remove all the birds except for remove all the canes and visible bird except for 3 canes to kind of cover the cordon and just revive this cordon. And we tried to cover entire cordon, but we could not even cover entire cordon. background for some of the vines, but that's the nature of winter injury that we saw in that particular vineyard. Treatment two, complete disbudding of cordons, all visible birds were removed. Treatment three, standard spur pruning. So try to maintain, like, you know, I think 24 plus minus birds per cordon. And treatment four, cordon removal. And the idea here was to, you know, just generate new cordon, okay? So we let the new shoots come up from the top of the cordon, chopped cordon, and just choose one of the strong cane and lay it down as a new cordon. And there was no injury to the phloem or xylem. And if you are wondering who that person is, well, that person just gave talk before me. So let's jump on to the results. So the first year we wanted to do we want to check the shoot development, okay? And we saw that, you know, by harvest, so we measured shoot length, that's bud break, horizon, and harvest. So by harvest, except for cordon removal treatment, you see like no much difference in shoot length. And this was kind of first red flag. You know, this 53.5 centimeter is really not long enough. But anyways, we are happy about the cordon renewal. You see the 145 centimeter. That's a reasonably long cane. Internode length, again, by harvest, you see the 5.4 centimeter is reasonably good distance between two birds. To train this new shoots coming from those birds for the vertical shoot positioning training. Well, this is interesting, the peridium percentage. So that's like number of brown birds over total birds. So that indicates how fast the canes are going into cold hardiness. And the higher the percentage means, you know, most section of the cane has achieved browning, and that's going to be like more winter hardy. Well, cordon renewal, even though the shoot kept going till the harvest, went into cold hardiness earlier. So you could be comfortable laying your cordon, not worry about the cold injury. So this picture was taken, I think, about 1 month after the treatments, and in June. And you see that the, you know, kicker can treatment had reasonably, you know, more vigorous or, you know, bigger canopy compared to rest of the treatments. So let's look at the yield parameters. Okay, so by third year, the three cane treatment had a, you know, highest clusters per vine compared to all three treatments. Similarly, yield, kicker cane had like about 4.9 kg per vine compared to, like, you know, around like, you know, 3.8 kg per vine for other treatments. And that was slightly disappointing because the cordon renewal treatment, we were hoping that by year three, it will be probably much, you know, higher than standard spur treatment. But maybe if we had continued for two more years, it could have shown that results. But anyways, if you look at the three-year average in terms of tons per acre, you see that the kicker can treatment bump up the yield by 26%. Now that's substantial, that's significant, but not substantial. You know, you're hoping around 4 tons per acre at least. So we are happy about that. Look at the cordon removal. And if you look at the cumulative yield, it's like 5.5 tons per acre. Now, of course, there was no yield during year one, but, you know, the grower has to look at the economic returns, and that's how they make decisions. So I thought important to show you. So our yields were strongly driven by cluster numbers and not the cluster weight. I mean, the yield is a function of cluster numbers and cluster weight, but we could clearly see that the cluster numbers was driving the yield. Pruning weight is important. That indicates vigor, vine size. If you don't see like increase in vigor, then it's not gonna be like, you know, helpful. Like, you know, you cannot say these treatments were, you know, revigorating those vines. And if you look at the numbers, they were more or less same by 2016. You know, there was no difference. If you look at the cumulative pruning weight, of course, Kikkerkenn had, you know, significantly higher pruning weight compared to other treatments, but this is still not like less than half that what you would expect from a healthy vine. But cordon renewal treatment had a less number of total canes per vines and least percentage of weak canes. Now, considering all of them had a comparable pruning weight, you can say that the cordon removal treatment resulted in stronger and uniform canes, and grower was most happy about this treatment. So here is a fruit composition among all these treatments in 3 years. Don't look at the number. I can just quickly summarize that there was no much difference amongst all these parameters during all three treatments, and whatever the difference was, that was still within the acceptable range of high quality fruit composition. And that was interesting, like, you know, yield was going down, but the fruit quality remained, you know, quite high. And that's why Chateau Saint Michel was still sourcing fruit from this vineyard. Anyway, so here are the summaries of our observations. We don't have one conclusions. Of course, growers have to make money. I'm a county extension agent, so, you know, I think like a grower. So they make decisions based on their priorities, their finances, the labor availability, projected price of the fruits and all that. So three short canes, yeah, it improved the yield. We don't think it was substantial. You know, you have to consider the cost of training those canes. I mean, we used electric duct tape, for tying those canes. So it could be a temporary strategy, but you have to replant. I mean, the grower thinks there's a conception that older the vine, better the wine, but that's not scientifically proven. Disbudding did not increase yield. It's not recommended. However, it is strongly recommended as an annual winter pruning cultural practice. In a weak spur, dead spurs, just remove that. It will push blind birds. Train those canes as a new spur locations. Okay. Standard spur, that's controlled. That wouldn't help. And chopped cordon. You know, you have, of course, there are new uniform vines growth, but it delayed full crop by even the second year, it was much less. So it's not recommended unless you are expecting really a high value crop for the fruit. General recommendation is that you have to think about replant. And there are high value varieties that, you know, you can plant. Take home message is that for cool climate, replacement viticulture is way to go. You have to continuously replace the parts, either canes, cordons, maybe even trunks. But this is common. We see that the successful growers are doing that. And like here, one side is like cane pruned, one is spur pruned, and it's very common. But again, that has to be part of what we call integrated cold damage management. You have to do 10 different other things to you know, prevent the cold injuries. So I'd like to thank Chip Dobson. He's the owner of Rosebud Vineyard, and he was happy to take his chain saw and cut down, I think, 40 vines. And we always appreciate, like, and then he also helped with other cultural practices. And I would like to thank Lynn Mills and Alan Kawakami. They are the technicians. They continued the project after I came here. And, of course, a PhD student, Natasha Sherbastuk. So that's all I have. Thank you very much.